This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Twitter is bigger than ever and can no longer be accused of being solely a media echo chamber. Looking back at last year's biggest Twitter stories, we're reminded of elections in India and Brazil and protests in Hong Kong and the hashtag Bring Our Girls Back campaign, all of which provided a glimpse of what the world was talking about outside of our own little routines and obsessions. Twitter feeds are now incorporated into news stories and voting referenda and activism and memorials and, of course, the Ice Bucket Challenge. Brady Carlson is host of All Things Considered at NHPR. He's an avid tweeter and consumer of tweets who everybody should be following. Brady joined us just before the year's end to suggest some feeds to follow that are off the beaten path. Brady, great to have you back.
Thank you. I like to think of myself as not only a Twitter follower, but a leader of Twitter followers.
Good to know. Well, Brady, you got to sell me on Twitter. I mean, I have to say, I find it much harder, much more overwhelming to sort of break into the Twitter sphere than I do on Facebook.
I think, as you said at the beginning, it's so almost institutionalized now. Every news organization has it. Every public figure, politicians, comedians, TV shows, writers, everybody's on Twitter to at least to some degree. They have a presence there. And while that's cool in a way, it means that you're not going to have a shortage of people or organizations that you might want to follow and keep in touch with. I think it does make it tougher to find those nuggets of creativity, those really unusual serendipity moments that used to be so much more prevalent on Twitter.
Well, for me, Facebook has become this medium where I can actually follow people and know about their lives, which I think is important, and they can know about mine. I mean, I had a really tough year. My dad passed away last month, and a lot of people following me on Facebook knew that. I would run into them. They would know what was happening. I don't feel like I have any instinct for what's going on in my personal life, especially on Twitter, because I won't get the responses. So, of course, it's all about the responses on some level.
The dynamic is different, and a lot of that is just the interface. When you go on Facebook, you're presented with what your friends are doing, and it's much more about having the relationships that are very distinct to you and very close to you. Twitter is more about being a droplet in a larger river, or an ocean even, of information and ideas. It is a place where I find more often than on Facebook or other social media sites that I will find something that is going to be bubbling up, not to overdo the water metaphor, but it's where I'm going to find instantaneous information. It's where I'm going to find sort of the latest ideas that people are going to be talking about. And then oftentimes I'll see a tweet containing a link to a big idea or a news story. And then a couple of days later, I'll start to see the discussions filtering out on Facebook about that same idea or that same story. Mm-hmm. So it's a not as intimate as perhaps, say, Facebook, but it's intended to have this more immediate effect on people and users.
So given that I'm going to ask you about who to follow on Twitter and those accounts may be followable for no more than the next 5 minutes because Twitter moves so quickly, how did you decide on which Twitter feeds to recommend?
Well, what I was aiming for was to try and find things that are not obvious. So I tried to come up with Twitter accounts that would introduce people to new ideas. I also want to provide a caveat that these are not comprehensive by any means. Twitter is a global thing, and there's so many interesting accounts that are going on in other parts of the world that it would take us months and months to try and do a comprehensive job of introducing people to all of those.
Okay, so with those criteria established, let's start with some that have actual news value, let's say in the traditional sense.
Well, I tried to come up with ones that had good context around them. Somebody who might fill you in on some of the background. There's a historian who mostly focuses on presidential history, but he talks about all facets of American and world history. It's Michael Beschloss. He's written a number of books. But on Twitter, he's become quite adept at finding the historical artifact, the photo, the item that has something to do with the news of the day. So when the news broke about Cuba and the U.S., he found a photo of Vice President Nixon and Fidel Castro in the day back in the Cold War, and just providing one of those moments. Anytime there's a news story going on, it's not simply just an on this day in history kind of feed, which is what's interesting. I've often heard it said that history is the story of the present told through the past, and his feed really exemplifies that. And you see the effect on that in institutions, museums, historical curators are all trying to do that now, what Michael Beschloss has been doing for some time.
That's Michael Beschloss's Twitter feed. We're going to post the entire list. I don't know if we're going to get to all of them today, Brady, but we will have those posted, the entire list posted at wordofmouthradio.org. Any others for real news or, you know, stuff that makes you really think?
I want to recommend a former colleague of mine. He now works at public radio in Boston, but our former colleague, Will Roselip, as far as I can tell, I'm no expert, but he is the most interesting voice in classical music that I've seen yet.
And here's really? I knew he was a cellist. I had no idea.
Here's what I mean by that. He is convinced that the biggest problem in classical music today is the way that we discuss classical music, that it's sort of shunted off into concert halls and presented as this very difficult thing to approach. And he's made the point that our frame of reference for classical music is way off. When you think about so many of the viral videos that we've seen over the years, you know, you've seen the group of cellists who, you know, will put that spontaneous concert together in the town square, or the violinist Joshua Bell showing up in the subway station and anonymously playing for people. There are these classical music videos who show up everywhere, even the videos of that group Two Cellos, the mm-hmm. two guys who play AC/DC songs through cellos with distortion pedals and fireworks and things in their concerts. There's a pop culture element of classical music, he's saying, that we are completely overlooking because we think it's stuck over in the concert hall. And he's saying all we have to do is start thinking about it in a different way and we'll start exploring this music again. Because classical music, as he puts it, used to be the music of the people. It was the folk music of its time.
It sounds quite sincere. He's on a bit of a mission. How about all of the sort of funny and phony and fakish people tweets that we see online? Any in that category come up?
There are so many. A couple worth recommending. There's one called Upworthy Spoiler. We've talked about Upworthy, the clickbait site, as it's derided as, or Upworthy will give you those headlines like, that ton of food your schools throw away? How about doing this instead? And they want you to click on it and share it with a million people. Upworthy Spoiler is a Twitter account that spoils what the clickbait headline is withholding from you. So for that ton of food your schools throw away, how about do this instead? Upworthy Spoiler posted, donate it to soup kitchens, because that's what you'd find if you went and clicked on the article. So they go through these pieces and find the answer to the clickbait question.
You don't even need to click through.
That's right. And what happened after I checked out that Twitter feed changed everything.
Brady Carlson is with us, who keeps a keen eye on the social media and news media universe. We're talking about some of his picks for those to follow on Twitter. There was one that you shared with me recently, TV Network Notes, which showed an almost prescient kind of way of communicating now that we've seen all those leaked Sony emails. What was this?
They were really ahead of the game on this one. These are purported to be actual notes from network executives to TV show producers and creators that are beyond the pale. For example, the cable channel True TV said, quote, this show needs to make sense to someone who just looked up from taking a bong hit. That was apparently the note they gave to a producer of a show. There's one that the people who created The Walking Dead on AMC said, they had pitched the show to NBC before ending up on cable, and they were told, apparently, this is awesome, I really love it. Does it have to have zombies in it?
So the phony Sony, I guess, on some level, TV Network Notes. Another that you shared with me previously was TLDR Wikipedia. Now, what's that? Too long, didn't read.
Too long, didn't read, right? That's a long-time acronym on the web. But TLDR Wikipedia is essentially like a one-sentence version of what you might find in a Wikipedia article. But, of course, they are all pretty clever ways of summarizing the pieces. So, for example, there's a font is a style of typeface carefully chosen to make your English teacher think a paper is 5 pages long.
I really liked male pattern baldness is a condition which, if left untreated, eventually results in a new Corvette.
Or there's this one here in public broadcasting. This might hurt a little bit, but it says, Ken Burns is what happens when a PowerPoint gets funding from the Kellogg Foundation and viewers like you.
Okay, and then, of course, there is the personality-driven Twitter feed. Now, you didn't give us Taylor Swift or Beyonce. What have you got?
There are a couple of different personalities. I tried to find people who I thought were going to say things that were going to be a little bit outside the norm so that you would get a different perspective. For example, there's a writer named Casey Johnston who writes about tech, and she writes about feminist issues in tech, which has been a big issue, especially this year with Gamergate and some of the other issues that have come up. She wrote a piece about how tech diversity has been affected by the decline in AP computer classes in high school, so that if you're not having people get involved in these things at an early age, then you start to see that later on down the road in higher education and then in the workforce. She started getting these tweets back from men, not realizing that she had written the article. So they would say things like, you know, you need to read this whole article to really understand what's going on. And she would write back in these very effective Twitter burns, I wrote the article. So she's a voice I think that we hopefully will hear a lot more of in the coming year. Another one is, his name is Michael Twitty, but he's best known for having, he has a fantastic Twitter handle. Kosher Soul is his Twitter handle. His blog is known as Afro Culinaria. He is a culinary historian. He studies the history of food, in particular the history of food talking about enslaved people. And he has a perspective that is just fascinating when you talk about some of the issues that have come up in the news this year about something like Ferguson or Eric Garner in New York. He can take a broad approach rather than people sort of reacting just to the minute of what's going on at that very moment. Taking a look at the issue of race in America, which is as elemental a question as you can get in American history, and taking a look at what 300 or 350 years of these conversations look like and how it might apply to today. And he does it through the lens of food, which is genius. I mean, one, he knows his stuff. He's a very interesting cook, and he goes for the absolute most authentic way of cooking dishes that are several hundred years old, the same utensils, the same exact types of vegetables and meats and so forth. He also gives people a way in who might be uncomfortable talking about it through the usual channels of criminal justice or politics or the economy. He's able to take it through food, and food is a thing we all have in common. We can all get into some complex issues when we talk through food, which is fascinating.
Brady, I'm thinking, you know, what about people who aren't on Twitter when they hear all this? I mean, you don't need to actually be on Twitter to follow these feeds. That's one thing we should make very clear. People can go and look at them. But who are you following on Facebook?
Well, right now, I would recommend, this is actually nice because it's local, I would recommend the Mount Washington Observatory. They post, obviously, weather data and information like that, but their photographs are fantastic. And Facebook has become increasingly visual over the last couple of years. They've made photos a lot larger. They used to be tiny. And now they're a huge part of the screen real estate when you visit Facebook, whether that's on your mobile device or whether it's just on the plain web browser. And they look great. The information is great. They're very shareable. And they're just very fun. They're clearly very enthusiastic about what they do for a living. And it's something that you can enjoy even in the coldest day of the coldest part of the year, which is clearly what we're headed toward in the immediate future.
Well, Brady, thank you so much for making me a little bit more excited about Twitter. I'm going to go back to your water metaphor and think of a Chinese proverb that I once heard. Oh, little drop, give yourself up and gain the ocean. Is that a way to get to Twitter?
It is. And it's very tweetable, too. That's not even 140 characters.
Brady, what's your Twitter handle?
At Brady Carlson.
Brady Carlson. He is NHPR's All Things Considered host. We'll have Brady's full list of Twitter feeds to follow at wordofmouthradio.org.
I've had enough, 'cause like I've only been on Facebook for a month, and we just got rid of my space. Finally. You tell me that I should be signing up. Maybe it's the latest way for hooking up. Really? You sure it just won't be gone in a month? No way. It's texting, it's blogging, it's Facebook, but better. Tell me what you had for breakfast. Bad jokes, celebrities, and politics. We are never, ever, ever getting rid of Twitter. We are never, ever.
so much for your listening time today. There's plenty more to hear at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow us or send us your feedback or share your ideas for the program on Facebook and on Twitter. And while you're there, let us know who you're following on Twitter this year. Or if you're not there yet, are you willing to start? Why don't you share your story? You never know what kind of helpful or inspiring things you might learn about by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. We resolve to keep passing them along in 2015. Until next time, this is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.